anybody still out there? Seriously. Like, it's been maybe 3 or 4 years since I put up an episode. You know, it's been a while. Minute. Well, I'm back. And it's going to be a little different now. I'm going to tell you where I've been, what I've been up to, and I'm going to tell you about a few changes that are coming. So I guess you could call this About Nashville episode 38. However, it's no longer going to be just About Nashville with Mike Rogers. It's now going to be also with Dan Whitehurst, the comedian Dan Whitehurst. So it's going to be About Nashville with Mike Rogers and Dan Whitehurst. That's a long title. That's a big, long name. I got to figure out, you know, is it just Mike and Dan, or is it Dan and Mike, Dan, Mike Rogers and Dan Whitehurst, or is it, I don't know. We got to figure that out. It doesn't matter. But regardless, let's say explain a few things. One, where did I go? Why did I disappear, and what was I up to? Well, when the podcast took off, it started getting a lot of attention, and I got put on back into music, and I got involved with a music contract and started going back in the studio and recording things, and, you know, it didn't quite blow up the way I wanted, but that's okay, you know, you don't get judged, I guess, for jumping off and failing. You get judged for not jumping. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't even know what the hell I just said. Anyway, so I did that, and, you know, a lot of people have come and gone during this period. There's a lot of things that have happened, and decided to bring the old podcast back, and I went to a comedy show. And by the way, let me clear up this part. I'm not a comedian. Don't even want to be a comedian. Maybe the funniest thing was the attempt to try to be a comedian. That was not so funny. But I do enjoy. I'm a huge comedy fan. Love comedy. A big comedy fan. And everybody that knows me knows that. I'm one of those kind of guys that I can be funny in a situational setting. But you put me on stage and you go, hey, be funny for 15 minutes, and I'm like, crickets. Yeah, it's a little harder. It's a lot harder. There are guys that I saw when I first started out in 2016, and I met along the way that are still doing it, and those guys are really good comedians. I mean, your Dusty Slays and your Brad Sativas and your Aaron Webbers and guys like that, they're funny, and that's their craft, and that's what they do. Me, not so much. So with that being the case, I went to a comedy show about a year ago, I believe, and ran into a guy by the name of Dan Whitehurst. We'd known of each other through various channels. And we got to talking and decided that we were going to put this thing back together. And boo, here we are. So I don't know why I said boo. It's not even Halloween. Not even close to Halloween. You know, it's Christmas time, or close to Christmas time. So we're back. Ha ha. Here. Anyway. So Dan. Have you ever done a podcast? Have you ever talked on a podcast? Have you been interviewed on a podcast?
I have done all three. I've been on a podcast. I've been interviewed on a podcast. And what was the third question?
Have you ever been naked in the middle of a laundromat?
No.
Okay, didn't happen on a podcast either. Although I think I was naked once on a laundromat, but that's a whole nother story.
That's the only way you can get all your clothes clean.
That's a very true story. I did end up with one sock. It remained dirty, but that's a whole other story in itself. So yeah, we are back here, and we're going to try to come out every week. I know I made that promise initially in 2014, and then had the stutter step, realizing how difficult it really was, but enamored with the whole platform of podcasts. Came back again in 2016. And that turned out real well, and kind of ran sporadically until 2018, and then have disappeared. This is now 2022, and I guess what they say, the third time is a charm. It's either that or I'm going to strike out.
That would be the case. This is our third strike here, so I think it's going to go good. It's going to. I think you need to write a song, so we'll have a theme song.
I got one. I wrote it. So I've got a song called "Good Man with Bad Intentions" that I co-wrote with a guy out of Little Rock, Arkansas. He actually initially started the song. It was about Jermaine Taylor. And then we punched it up, changed it, and now it's a completely different song, and it's not even about Jermaine Taylor. It's now about prison. Wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. Because I don't even know how to back out of this one, because it's not about... I will cut that part. Anyway, it's a song that we will use that opens it up and closes it out. So what have you – I want them to know. Everybody knows, my forte is country music and boxing. Obviously not comedy. What would you say, I heard somebody call you last night the funniest police officer in all of America.
I was in a contest in 2002, and it was for the world's funniest cop. It was through a corporation called ASLET, American Society for Law Enforcement Training, and they had a comedy contest. His first year they ever tried to do something like that, and I won that one.
You won ASLET.
yes.
What does it? No, wait. What is it again? American.
American Society for of Law Enforcement Training or something.
ASLET.
ASLET.
ASLET. So if you're funny, you get your ass lit. You know, I don't know. I'm trying to make that. See, I told you, I'm not a comedian. Interesting. So, what got you started in comedy?
Started actually in 99, saw an ad in the Nashville Scene that they were wanting to start a stand-up comedy group. And I was thinking that, I wouldn't mind giving that a shot. I don't know why. I had recently got involved in listening to comedy radio. I'd never really paid much attention to it, but happened to catch Tim Wilson on a radio show, John Boy and Billy, as I was driving through North Carolina, and I just laughed so hard and thought, man, I like what this guy does. And, I don't know. Then when the opportunity presented itself, I guess I just thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and give it a try.
So was that like a improv group or was it just comedy?
No, it was just comedy. It wasn't improv. It was just we started doing comedy at a little – Mexican restaurant on No Murfreesboro Road, Fessler's Lane, actually. Kind of in a, back then it was a pretty rough part of town, but we'd just go up and do about 3 or 4 minutes apiece. And
was it at El Chico?
I know they tore it down because last time I went down that road, it was gone. So
okay, so probably, I think El Chico's still there, so it wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I can't remember what, I don't even remember the name of it, but... yeah, we were terrible. we were all terrible. But it was free.
What were some of your original jokes that you told whenever you were starting out?
I think the first joke I had that actually worked consistently, I would make some jokes about my problems with women. At the time, I'd never been married, but since then, I've been married and divorced. But
how many times?
Once. It was all it took. But, one of my jokes was that I've always had trouble with women, especially that awkward pepper spray phase of the relationship.
Now, did everybody know you were a cop?
No. I didn't tell people I was a cop. I didn't do any cop material. I didn't do that for years. Even after I started getting paid, I didn't. As long as I was on the police department, I never let anybody know.
Was there a reason for that?
I always just had a suspicion that if you put cops and comedians together in the wild, they get along okay, but you put them in confined quarters, they'll fight.
Oh, I never thought about that. I've always been a little bit leery of some of the things that I've done on the side, you know, side hustles, and thinking about how they would affect, you know, real world situations. You know, the politics of boxing being one of them. You know, I've kind of wondered, you know, is that going to hurt, or will that hurt, or if it do, it would, how bad is it going to hurt? You know.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this: when did you start using police work as your, obviously it was after you retired, but how did that come into play? When did you start working that into, and there's another reason I'm bringing this up, because in the very first comedy show that I did, I did a whole bit on boxing, and it, part of it kind of worked, but I also felt like I was kind of partly ripping off, you know, anybody that ever talked about boxing beforehand, because it, you know, maybe not on purpose, but you know, you just, there's only so much you can say about boxing and comedy that hasn't already been said. One of my favorite bits of was Richard Pryor talking about, you know, George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. And or maybe it was, no, yeah. Because he's like, the two things he said that I loved. He said, I love George Foreman's style in boxing, you know. And he said, what style is that? None. And he goes, which one's a referee? Because I'm going to kill the other one. I'm going to kill the other guy. And I was like, I mean, that was funny, funny stuff. And then the time he said he came back from, you know, the corner, and the coach told him, he said, man, that guy's not touching you. He goes, well, somebody needs to check the referee, because he's whipping my ass. You know, I like that one too.
Yeah, and Tex Cobb was a hilarious individual. I'm sure he still is, but I had to lift one line of his in that boxing bit I do. I do a boxing bit about my very brief boxing career. But, yeah, I borrowed the line, help me, you're white. Tex Cobb really said that.
He said, wait, say it one more time?
He said, help me, you're white, to the referee. He really did that. Fight.
It doesn't surprise me. My father worked a couple of his fights as a cut man, and he said that Tex Cobb was the only fighter that he ever rode with to the venue while a guy was smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer.
I wouldn't believe it. And I think it was the Nashville Scene, they had a referee that worked the Tex Cobb Ernie Shavers fight, and he said during the fight Ernie had Tex in a headlock and was hitting him with uppercuts. And the referee said he kind of slapped Ernie's arm, said, let him go, Ernie, let him go. And he said, I heard Tex's voice bellow out from under Shaver's arm. He said, hey, ref, leave the man alone. He's busy.
Gosh. Man, there are some funny things that you could say about boxing. But I would like to hear, you know, a whole different, unique perspective. There was a guy in the 80s that my father loved. I don't know the guy's name, but I did see his picture last night. He would come out and he would put his headgear on sideways, and he'd go, hello, my name is Jiffy Jeff, what? And he'd go like, is that his name?
Bob Nelson. Yep.
And my dad would do this bit, and I would just crack up watching him. I got to wear my protective gear, my headgear, my protective cup. But he would point to the opposite direction with what he was supposed to be saying. And I go everywhere I fight, I wear it. And then he hits himself. He said, but I'm not wearing my protective coat right now. And I'm just
yeah, he was hilarious. He had a show in Branson for a little while. Bob was real big at one time.
Is he still doing comedy?
I believe he is, yeah.
Oh, man. So how long have you been doing professional comedy? I suppose since you retired?
I was actually professional when I was still a police officer. I was getting paid. I was working at a few different clubs, usually just stuff closer into Tennessee. I didn't get to go too far. But once I retired, and I think it's 2007, I could go pretty much anywhere I wanted to then.
Have you ever in your entire life had somebody come up to you after a show and go, do you remember arresting me?
No, I've not had that happen. not so far.
Okay. Well, I just need to tell you something.
I would have remembered you.
What do you like to do in your spare time? I mean, what do you hang out and do?
I'm an avid motorcyclist, big boxing fan. Of course, you know that. I spend a lot of my time watching fights on YouTube, old fights, and riding my bike, and petting my dogs, doing comedy.
Who is your favorite fighter?
Pepino Cuevas.
Pepino Cuevas, and why?
Because he was fearless, he was a warrior, he was all offense, no defense. I like somebody that's limited, you know. I like Wilder. I love watching Wilder fight because he's not that good of a boxer, but he's got that great equalizer, you know.
I would say his boxing skills, maybe. But you can't really call a fighter limited that has the ability to flip a switch and turn you off with a punch. I mean,
limited boxing. His skills aren't. Of course, Roy Jones, he was another one that they said he did everything wrong, but he had so much raw talent, he could do it. So much speed, quickness.
Dude, you couldn't hit him with a handful of with rice. I mean, he had skills in places that most people don't even have places. I remember Roy in the amateurs, and in 19, I'm probably going to get some of these dates wrong, but I think in 1986, he fought in the National Golden Gloves at 139 pounds and won it. Well, the very next year in Knoxville, Tennessee, I believe it was 87, he fought again at 156. So he went from 139 to 156 in 1 year. And we kind of thought, oh, man, he might have jumped up too big too fast. That all went out the window after the very first bout. It was like, oh, wow, this guy's got, like, serious, serious skills. And there's very few – I mean, you know them when you see them. Immediately, you know, you recognize the Roy Jones, the Evander Holyfields, the Mike Tysons, the Caleb Plants who came through my Golden Gloves program. You know, you recognize those guys. I'll tell you a story. You're talking about Deontay Wilder. I know his trainer. I know his the people that work with him, and he had 7 bouts when he won the National Golden Gloves in Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
So you had one experience in the Golden Gloves. It was one bout. Just think, 6 more and you could have been a national champion.
Yeah, but it didn't work out that way. I'm sure he won most of his 7, didn't he?
He didn't lose any of them. So, but here's another statistic that's going to blow your mind. He won the bronze medal in the Olympics with less than 20 bouts.
That's incredible.
This guy was fighting international competition. So, I mean, yeah, he's got lights-out power, and the things that he was able to do and accomplish in the ring were just amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
George Foreman, he got a late start as far as his amateur career, didn't he? Wasn't he like 16 or 17?
He's 42.
I mean, the first career.
Yes, he was – no, I think he was a little older than that, I think. I think he was – if I'm not mistaken, he was in a in Houston in a – where he was learning a trade because he was already out of high school. And it was in trade school where he started boxing and then went on to win the Olympics. And I think his story is very, very close to, except for the difference between him and Wilder, is he won the gold medal.
Oh, yeah. He knocked all 4 of his opponents out, I believe, in the Olympics.
Can you name the year?
1968.
That's it. You remember where?
Not... It wasn't Jamaica, was it?
I barely knew her.
Oh, man. I see him waving that flag, but I can't remember what city. It was Tokyo? I can't remember.
Oh, hold it. Hold this. I'll look at it.
I honestly don't remember. I was going to say Munich, but I'm not 100% certain.
That may be. I don't know why I was thinking Kingston, Jamaica, but that was... It might have been where he fought Frazier. I can't remember.
I think you're right.
Um,
Google, be my friend.
Come on, Google.
This can't be right, but I guess it is. It's in Mexico.
Ah, yeah, Mexico City. Yeah.
Mexico City, that's right.
Huh. Yeah.
I didn't know that there would ever been an Olympics in Mexico.
Yeah, apparently. At least that one was.
Yeah. Do you remember where it was in 72?
Was that the one in Germany? 72.
Well, I'll tell you what happened in 72.
That was the kidnapping thing.
It was. That one might have been in Germany. But that year, Sugar Ray Leonard, if I'm not mistaken, he qualified for the Olympics and then couldn't go because he was too young. And then the following Olympics in 76 is when he won that gold medal.
76, we got a lot of gold medal winners, didn't we?
Like three or four. There was, I think the only one in, 72 was Ray Seals. Was it Sugar Ray Seals?
Yep, Sugar Ray Seals.
And then in 76, it was Ray Leonard, Howard Davis Jr., and was there anybody else?
Was that Evander Holyfield's?
No, that was 1988.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But he was a bronze medalist.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the way they do.
Well, what? No, the referee said break, and he was throwing a punch at the same time the referee said break, knocked his opponent out. So,
right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Roy Jones was the one that got totally ripped off.
Oh, my gosh. Probably the worst decision in amateur or professional boxing I have ever seen in my entire life. Like, he beat that guy like he broke in a church, and they still gave it to the guy. So bad that they found out that at least two of the three judges had been paid off. But what I don't know is why, after they found that out, why they didn't reverse the decision. I don't understand.
Yeah, that was such a terrible ripoff, and everybody from both countries that watched the fight knew there was no way you could legitimately have given his opponent a round. There's no way.
72 was in Munich. And I'm not real sure where, and then 76 was in Montreal, and then 80 was in Russia. And then if you remember, I knew a couple of people that were on that 1980 Olympic team. If you remember, there was a plane that went down and killed the majority of the people that would have been on that team. And then they did it again. And there were guys that I knew, like Robert Shannon, was on that 80 Olympic team, but he also made the 84 Olympic team. And then another guy I knew, Jackie Beard out of Jackson, Tennessee.
Yeah, I remember Beard. He won a world title, didn't he?
No.
Oh, he didn't. I knew he was very good. He was a good pro. I remember him fighting.
Oh, yeah, he was a great pro and a great guy. I mean, all the Beard boys were good. Ricky, Jackie, Obi, all those guys, they're super, super good. I mean, I know that if you fought out of the Jackson, Tennessee Golden Gloves, you had to have been around those guys. What year was that, by the way?
That would have been 1980. I think it was 1980.
Or 81,
maybe 81.
So Jackie wouldn't have been there. Jackie would have already been pro at that time. You would have been, but I'm trying to think if Clint Jackson and people like that were still around. And there were some real good ones that came out of that Jackson area.
Yeah, there was some really good. The football player, Al Wilson, he was a boxer too, the linebacker in the NFL.
I don't know much about football.
Well, he played for UT, and then he played for UT during the Peyton Manning era, and then he went in the NFL, and he was a very good NFL linebacker. But he was also a good boxer, they said, out of Jackson, Tennessee, heavyweight.
Huh. So what kind of TV shows you watching?
Man, I have been stuck on YouTube. I just watch a bunch of stuff on YouTube all the time. I want to watch Yellowstone, but I haven't started yet. But everybody keeps telling me you got to watch it.
You haven't seen a season of Yellowstone?
I have not.
What? Man, we do watch Yellowstone. There's not many things we don't watch. We're kind of like, you know, TV addicts. We like our certain shows, and we kind of round up in here and watch them. You know, there's nothing like watching Game of Thrones in a theater, or something to that effect, or, you know, or Yellowstone in the theater, when you're looking at the everything and you're like, oh wow, this is pretty cool. But I don't know, we're just kind of nerds about that. So you're a YouTube junkie. You have YouTube TV, or you just have YouTube?
I've got YouTube TV, but I switch back and forth. I have YouTube on my television, so I'm able to go to it on my TV, which to me is the greatest thing I've ever experienced.
No, I mean, do you have YouTube TV?
I do have YouTube television also.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't even know that was a thing, and we did end up my... I'm not going to go into the details of how I got it, but I have it. And I was like, I was ready to be like I'm not going to be into this. This can't be, you know, good. I got YouTube for free. Why do I need a YouTube TV? Oh my gosh. It is really, really good. There's that, like, I'm finding, I'm an Elvis freak. So there's like all kinds of old Elvis movies and clips and documentaries and stuff that I can go watch on it that you wouldn't necessarily see on your regular YouTube. And I enjoy just watching that stuff. I'm kind of a goofball when it comes to that.
I haven't even seen the new Elvis movie yet, but I keep wanting to go, but you know, just hadn't made it out there yet.
Man. So what's the last movie you've seen? And if you say Forrest Gump, I'm going to just, you know, that'll be, I won't ask you anything about movies.
Top Gun, the late last Top Gun.
We saw that in Jackson, Tennessee. Okay. So tell me about your take on that. You remember the original Top Gun, right?
I definitely remember the original, yeah. It was a great movie. And probably over the years, I've seen it multiple times. But
so tell me what you like or dislike about it.
It was just a feel-good movie to me, the first one, as a kid. Because when it came out, I was a kid too, you know. So... everybody's young and everything, and now when they made the remake, 30 years later, well, I know they filmed it a while before they released it, but watching it and seeing how everybody had aged, well, except for Tom Cruise, you know, but I enjoyed it. It was like kind of going back in time a little bit, you know.
The part that was a little weird to me, though, was if you think about it, every single person that was in that movie with him wasn't even born yet when the first one came out.
Yep, that's true.
And he looked like he hadn't aged a day.
That's true. He good genes, I guess.
I didn't look at his genes, but I definitely saw that he was wearing the same bomber jacket and he was wearing the same, you know, stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy, like, whatever he's eating, drinking, doing, I don't know. Maybe it's just rich people can age slower than us. I don't know what it is.
I got a buddy that bought a leather jacket that had those patches on it back 30 years ago.
I still got mine.
He still got his. And we, when it starts cooling down, we always tell him it's danger zone weather because he still wears it all the time.
I got one just like that in 1986. I still have it downstairs in my closet. I probably shouldn't admit that. It goes back to my wife. She actually said this to me. She said, you know what we ought to do? We ought to have like a theme party. We could do like the 80s theme. And like I can go get an 80s outfit and you can just wear some of your old clothes.
Yeah, that would work, yeah.
I just resembled that remark. You know, like, okay, that's not cool.
When's the last time you wore your Danger Zone jacket?
I'm not 100% sure it fits, but what I will do is when we're done with this episode, I'm going to go downstairs and see and put it on and see if the damn thing still fits.
Well, I still have my high school football jacket, two of them, a lightweight and the regular winter one, and neither of them fit, but I'm fixing to lose some weight and make them fit. One of them's like brand new. I may start wearing it.
So you had two, one for the girlfriend and one for the girlfriend at the other school.
Well, one for the girlfriend, yeah, I did. I did have one for the girlfriend, but now it's just hanging in my closet, looking good, looks brand spanking new, and as soon as I drop about 40 pounds, I'm going to be wearing it, probably on stage.
Really?
I think that'd be a good look for me. Danny Whitehurst, it says on it.
You would look like Ed O'Neill in Married with Children.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, it would be all right, especially if you had Sophia, you know, whatever.
What's her last name?
I don't remember.
She's Colombian. She's beautiful. Oh, that was a terrible Colombian.
It was, yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what, we'll wrap this up. And we have a lot to talk about. A lot. We're gonna start bringing on guests. We're gonna start doing this right. And who knows, if we build this thing back out, we might even go video, so we can see his fancy jacket that says Dan Whitehurst. Now, it says Danny.
Yeah, number 32 in your program, number 1 in your heart.
It says number 32 in your program, number 1 in your heart.
Well, it doesn't say that. I say that.
Okay. All right. Well, as my daddy would say, keep your hands up, your chin down, your butt off the canvas, but most certainly keep punching.